strength, like energy, vigor. Yes, we can bless these boys here and help them to grow, to be strong and become again. And Lord, just give us wisdom and understanding as brothers to be a good example of your will be done today. Just bless your brothers, brother David, for the work that's done. All the ones in Mexico. Bless brother Daniel. His parents, all the ones down there, we have just bless and help them be strong, bless the church down there, in Jesus' name. Okay, open your Bibles to Psalm 109.
Blessed Abraham said, blessed gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people and keep the cattle for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing of yours from a thread to a sandal strap, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men with me. Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Okay, so this Melchizedek was the king of Salem, and priest of the Most High God, a righteous man. And it doesn't say who his parents were or anything like that. So now I'm going to flip over to Hebrews, where it talks a little more about Melchizedek then. Okay. So go over to Hebrews 7. This Melchizedek has always been a little bit of a mystery to me. It seems a little hard to understand, but anyway, let's read what it says about Melchizedek here. Hebrews 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of all the spoils, was first of all by the translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. Now observe how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the choicest spoils, and those indeed of the sons of Levi, who received the priest's office, have commanded in the law to collect the tenth from the people, that is, from the brethren, although these are descended from Abraham. One whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham, and blessed the one who had the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the Creator. So it's obvious the writer is saying here that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. And so Jesus, what the Hebrew writer is getting down to say is that Jesus is greater than the Levitical priests of the children of Israel. As Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. Okay, well, we have to suppose that we go back now to our Psalm. Let's go back to Psalm 109. Okay, so in verse 4 here, the Lord swore and will not repent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. God made Jesus a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek in his life. It's just Jesus was without the beginning of days or end of life. Jesus is eternal God, and Jesus is a priest forever. Melchizedek is the type of Jesus, I guess. Okay, and then did you know that whenever Jesus was talking to the Pharisees one time, that he used this song here when he was talking to the Pharisees? The Pharisees they just loved to try to trick Jesus and trap him with his words and show Jesus how smart they were, try to Jesus up. Okay, so let's go back and read a little story about how Jesus told this song here. And just, he asked them what this song means. And they just had, didn't know what to say. So, okay, let's go to Matthew 22. Verse
Mary's son. I'm going to call the son of God. And that's our activity. They're both right.
Okay. So they, the Pharisees, they said to him, the son of David.
Okay, how's that? Why did they answer that? He was the descendant of David through. He was born of Mary. Yes, okay, descendant of David. Okay, so they said, well, from all they have ever known and read and studied about the Messiah, when God sends the Messiah, he's going to be born through David's line, right? So they said, okay, he'll be the son of David. So they answered that. That's good. Okay, now there's verses 43. He said to them, Jesus said to the Pharisees, then how does David, in the Spirit, call him Lord, saying, then Jesus said in Psalm, when we read that here, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. What would you answer there? What do you think about that? From far down in history, now looking back, we see who the Messiah really was going to be. From their vantage point, all they knew was the prophecies that God's going to send the Messiah to deliver them. They thought he would be a great king and lead their nation to victory from the Romans, their other nations. But looking back, we see that God sent the Messiah. That he delivered Israel, but not only those who wanted to deliver, and delivered them from their sins, right? Not necessarily from the Romans. We can see all that and feel clear to us. But they couldn't see that real clear, so they just said, son of David. And so Jesus said, well, how is he David's Lord then? Why does David call him Lord? So this Messiah, this Christ, what is he? The son of David? Or is he God? Is he the Lord? Capital L.
Our assignment for this week was to get some time when someone was falsely accused and just some details about it, something like that. And Joseph in the Bible, when Potiphar's wife said that he had done bad stuff to her and been wicked with her, he got thrown in jail, but God let him be a really great man in Egypt because he got thrown in jail and told and prophesied dreams. And so then he was ruler over Egypt.
One time I read a story about a family. There are missionaries to some country in Latin America.
and they would give the people medicine and treat their illnesses. But one time in the middle of the night, some soldiers came and told them that they and accused them of teaching the people to rebel against the government and to steal from the poor. And they couldn't convince them that that wasn't true, and they shot the dad.
Joseph's master's wife accused him of wrongdoing, and then Joseph's master had him thrown in jail, and then years later God took him out and made him king over Egypt.
God said that Job was a perfect man. And one day, Satan took all his stuff away. And then his friends came and told him that it was because he was bad. And then God told him to pray for his friends. And then he got all the things back. He did. And then he got all the things back in him and more.
The Anabaptists were accused of plotting against the government and being heretics, and they weren't trying to do anything. They weren't trying to be bad to the government or anything. And then they put them in prison and killed them, and then they got to go to heaven because they believed in Jesus and prayed and kept on doing that while they were being persecuted.
Ignatius followed God and obeyed him, and the people there accused him of disobeying the laws and being wicked, and so they killed him. They killed him with lions for his faith.
Same assignment as the little boys. When King Saul accused David of trying to take his kingdom and tried to kill him, David had two chances to kill Saul, but he just took the wrong, and God made him king Israel.
I thought about a story we heard on the news that a man was accused of, well, his house burnt down and his children were in it, and he was accused, they investigated, and he was accused of burning it down on purpose. And then so he was put on the death row, and finally they were going to kill him. And his last words were, I'm being killed for a crime that I didn't do. And so then they killed him. And then later, they investigated it again, and they figured out that it wasn't him. He hadn't done it on purpose, and so then he got killed for something that he didn't do.
I didn't make the time to actually come up with a specific thing, so I just had some thoughts. I just thought about how hard it is when we personally get accused for something we don't do, or when we get treated wrong, how much of a struggle it is within ourselves to just do it like Christ did and lay down our own will and forgive the person or accept the situation. And I just thought about how Christ, I was just thinking about the heart of it all, how Christ was falsely accused because people envied him, because he had what was true. And and Christ, he didn't answer any. I mean, when he was, what I'm thinking is when he was before the council, he didn't answer. He didn't try to justify himself, and Pilate was amazed that he didn't try to justify himself. And I was just thinking how there wasn't anything he could say because those people had their minds made up and they weren't going to admit to treating him. No matter how hard Christ could have fought, they would not have admitted to the wrongdoing or treating him falsely. And he would have lost the battle if he would have fought.
I had when Stephen was stoned for blaspheme against, he's accused of blaspheme against God, and he was stoned, and as he's dying, he said, "Don't hold the sin against them, for they know not what they're doing."
Jesus in Matthew 9, the Pharisees have falsely accused him of blaspheming, and he didn't get all mad and everything. So when we get falsely accused, not to get mad at the person that falsely accused.
The Jews got upset at Stephen because he was such a righteous man, and so they got false witnesses and accused him of blasphemy, and he said they killed Jesus, and so that made him even more madder, so they just took him and stoned him.
I got word Jesus was brought before Pilate, and they falsely accused him, and then they killed him on the cross. But how we should apply that to our lives is we shouldn't just, Jesus didn't get all mad when they were falsely accusing him and start accusing them or kill all them. We should just keep our cool, just like he did.
I had been captured Jesus because they didn't like how he was teaching the truth, and that everyone believed that they believed, but they didn't like how God was teaching everybody, and the government, or the government, I guess, didn't like it that he was turning all the people up in them, and they weren't following him, and so they got mad at him, and they took him and crucified him.
Okay, boys, for next Sunday, your assignment for next Sunday for the younger ones is find out the prophecy about Jesus that was fulfilled, okay? In the New Testament, the prophecy that was fulfilled by Jesus. And for the older boys, find a prophecy about the Messiah back in the Old Testament somewhere. That what the Messiah would be like is a prophecy about Jesus coming in back in the Old Testament.